Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome to the Robin Walters Show. God bless you all today. We've got so much to fit in. So much to fit in that I've actually even cut short the introduction music because we just need to make more space, more time. We have a lot to talk about. This is going to be part one of a two-part series dealing with the insurrection to start, as it is called. And we're going to start with that, correcting the terminology here. We're going to cover so much, and in the part two, and for those of you who get the podcast, part two is probably going to be coming out tomorrow, the day after this. We're going to try to keep a tight time frame. It's one of the flexibilities that we have here, now going to largely podcast distribution to be able to bring programs of any length at any time that the situation demands it. But to reiterate from last week, because I want to do that, those of you listening, wherever and however you're listening, you can get the podcast by going on any one of a number of networks from Audiophile or audio.com, I think it is, Google, Spotify, Apple. To go to podcast, type in The Robin Walter Show. So you got to do. The only exception is Rumble.com. Which after I get kicked off some of these other platforms is where I'll probably be on exclusively. But there, you don't type in the word the, and Robin Walter Show is all one word up in the search bar, And that'll bring you to rumble.com because we're on that and a host of others. We are pretty much on any network, or let me say platform that you can think of. All right. And if you want to write to me, please write to me. We're going to confine this now to just one email address. I think I confused people last week with it just to robinwaltershow@gmail.com. robinwaltershow@gmail.com. So let's get rolling here. I was so nauseated by what little bit of coverage there was from the ABC networks, as in ABC, the alphabet networks, the ABC, NBC, CBS, whatever, right on to Ted Cruz, who is apparently only interested in really running for president, to call this a violent terrorist attack. Ted, what happened to you? And I appreciate and I give many kudos to Tucker Carlson for taking Ted Cruz down the other night. He deserved it. I don't know what position he's bucking for if he thinks that that's what he's got to do to get reelected in Texas. If he does, then Texas is a goner, and we need to look to other states to secede from the Union, which is inevitable. But I don't think the U.S. population as a whole has the guts or the constitution, and I mean that, the inter-fortitude to be able to do that. But I want to start with something here that for him to call it a violent terrorist attack, obviously to be violent, you have to cause violence. Right? Was there violence here? If to be terrorist, you have to have some sort of bombs or arms. That didn't exist. The mainstream media simply calls it an armed insurrection. An armed insurrection. Well, to be an armed insurrection, do you not have to have arms? There aren't any arms to speak of. I mean, the only person got shot. You know, I mean, the news always talks about the white cop that kills the unarmed black guy. Well, this is a black cop that kills an unarmed white woman, Ashley Babbitt. I'm not trying to make a racial thing out of it. I'm just trying to point out the obvious imbalance and unfairness in the news as to what they want to point out and then what they cover, hide, misinform, and disinform us. So what I thought I would do today, we're going to go back into class for about 2 minutes. If we're going to talk about an alleged armed insurrection that has no arms, or there are no arms, obviously they're lying. We know that. We've come to expect that. I'll be shocked if they don't lie. But this is why they have to say armed insurrection, because they want to redefine the word insurrection. But insurrection, and I do not hear this on any of the media, whether, you know, God bless Tucker and Hannity and Laura Ingraham and everybody else, Joe Rogan and all of those guys, but I haven't heard the term insurrection actually defined. But if you go to uslegal.com, I'm a lawyer, you go to US Legal, it gives a definition of words which only have a meaning in a legal context. If you're going to be charged with insurrection, then what you did has to meet the definition of the features of that term, that word. The various components that make up insurrection have to be met and proved beyond a reasonable doubt. This is insurrection law and legal definition. It is a violent revolt against authority, usually oppressive authority, but not always. Not always, but it is a violent revolt. Was this violent? No. I mean, not if you, and we're going to prove that in just a little bit here. It was not violent in the sense that they pushed through things and got in there. It's not violent in the sense of the word that we know, and it's not a revolt. It was a protest. It was a highly energized protest, but it's not a revolt. It says here, insurrection is different from riots and offenses connected with mob violence. An insurrection, there is an organized, this is key, there is an organized and armed uprising against authority or operations of government. Okay, first it has to be organized. The FBI has already said there was no organization here to this to speak of. Not from Trump or not from anybody. This is more spontaneous. That's the FBI's conclusion. But we're going to come to discussing the FBI in greater detail. But the purest definition comes from case law where, you know, case law had to define insurrection. So if we go to Jonas Brothers and Company versus Cigna Worldwide Insurance Company, Eastern District of Pennsylvania, 1995. We find, finally, a definition, a legal definition for insurrection. It is, and I quote, a violent uprising by a group or movement acting for the specific purpose of overthrowing the constituted government and seizing its powers. An insurrection occurs where a movement acts to overthrow the constituted government and to take possession of its inherent powers, end quote. So, did this group, first of all, we covered, it is not violent in any, I mean, compare it to Portland and Kenosha and Seattle and Philadelphia and all of those. Is this violent? No, not even remotely. There's no officers that got killed. Like I said, the only one that got killed or injured, in the case of Ashley Babbitt, dead, unarmed, and she gets killed by a cop who had his gun drawn before she ever did anything. He was walking around with his pistol in the firing position, if I were to say. So the violent uprising by a movement acting for the specific purpose of overthrowing the government and seizing its powers, nothing in this indicated that there was any attempt to overthrow the government. What, a bunch of people going into the government, into the Capitol, are going to overthrow it? The president's not there. The Supreme Court's not there. And then to seize his power, what are they going to do? Tie up AOC and throw her in a trash can where she probably belongs, but that's beside the point, and all the others, and then sit down, take Pelosi's gavel and assume power? Not even remotely close. This is just one more case of the left taking a word and redefining it to fit their narrative. So, based on this coverage of by the left-wing pundits who say this is an armed insurrection, which it wasn't, as though that's not enough of a lie and a misapplication, We get over to some brain dead individuals, most specifically here, Kami Harris, who goes on to say that what happened there, and she wasn't even there, was just as bad as 9/11 and just as bad as Pearl Harbor. Now, I don't want to go too deep with her because others on TV and so forth have, and I don't need to reiterate something just others have said. But to say that it is just as bad as Pearl Harbor and just as bad as 9/11 is an utter disgrace to the thousands that died in Pearl Harbor, the thousands that died on 9/11, the billions of dollars of property damage, the families that were destroyed, primarily the husbands in 9/11, but husbands and wives, mothers, grandmas that died in 9/11, lives ruined and destroyed financially, physically, some spiritually. They've never gotten over it. That this is somehow as bad? Well, let me say, is this really my one and only comment about Kami Harris here? Does she really think, or is this how stupid she thinks we are to bite for that? This is how stupid she thinks that normal Americans are, because she's not normal. I don't even know if she's American, not by what she preaches and teaches. No, actually, all we know now is we only know just how stupid she is. But if you conclude that somehow this exaggerated protest, this full-throated protest, after all, that's all what they called Kenosha, Portland, Seattle, clear riots. They called them protests. But if you state that you think this is just as bad as 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, then what you are saying is that it is indeed far, far worse than what happened in Portland, Seattle, Kenosha, Washington, D.C., Philly, and all the other places where there were riots, looting, burning, stealing, injuries, couple of deaths. So if the January 6th is worse, or at least just as bad as that, and the left has ignored the riots and even praised some of the riots of 2020, and an apparent aid to bring down Donald Trump, which it worked, and then now they can't say a year later, oh, gosh, that was really terrible, because they didn't have the cojones to say it when it was happening. Let's do a little comparison between January 6th and the Democrat-inspired, fueled, energized, and subsidized riots of 2020 in the cities aforementioned. On January 6th, did any congressional members have anything stolen of any real consequence? Well, during all these riots, shopkeepers were stolen blind. Did on January 6th, any of the congressional members have any personal property of any consequence that we know about damaged? How about in the riots? Personal property was damaged like you can't believe. Stolen, destroyed, the vandalism. On January 6th, were any of the congressional members' cars burned? Let's go to the riots. Everything went up in flames. Cars, inventory, buildings, people's lives, everything that they had built. Well, Barack Obama said, you didn't build that, but we all know Barack Obama to be the consummate liar. Everything went up in flames. January 6th, was anybody injured other than the unbelievable, unprosecuted execution of Ashley Babbitt by an armed black cop against an unarmed woman? Was anybody injured? Congressional members injured? Let's go to the riots. The violence to the people, to the injuries. I mean, Rittenhouse is just one of many. You've got the retired black cop, I think, who went to protect a building, and I forgot whether it was Seattle or Portland. I forgot his name. is retired from the force, or maybe it was Philadelphia, and he gets executed by one of the mob. The January 6th, that's quasi-public property. Quasi-public property. In other words, it belongs to the government, belongs to the people. So that's what they were trespassing on. And the riots, none of it was public property other than what was destroyed. The police stations were, the courthouses were, but the buildings and shopkeepers' property is private. No. You see, there is only one way, only one stinking way that the media or the congressional members, senators or representatives, could even think that this was worse than any or all of the aforementioned riots and damage across the U.S. for the last 18 months. It's only one way. Only one conceivable way other than they just think, well, maybe there's two if you want to just say that all the Democrats are so stupid that they think we are so stupid that we would actually suck up to such a ridiculous lie that it's actually worse. I mean, Cammy just showed once again how she's utterly unfit for office. Keep in mind, this is coming from the woman who fornicated her way into public office. The only way congressional members, other than just outright lies, could believe that this is somehow worse than all of those riots is if they believe, and I think they do, that they are somehow more important, they are more elite, more privileged, more professionally and morally superior, and therefore deserve more respect and attention and support than the common man, or let's say the common shopkeeper. That's the only way. The only way that they could come to that conclusion if they just think that they are kings and queens on the mountain. They're better than all of us, which has me increasingly supportive of term limits. Maybe you do just scrap them. I mean, I hate to say it because you get rid of a few good ones. But if you go to the book of Exodus, you'll find out what the three requirements are for leadership. You need to love truth, hate lying. Well, they fail that. You need to love God. Well, they don't love God. They're anti-God. They're Christophobic, bibliophobic, truthophobic. And the third one is that you need to hate covetousness. In other words, you cannot be so covetous that above everything else, you want to hang on to your prized little possession called your perky little congressional seat, which I'm starting to just simply despise more and more. I feel like running for Congress to test myself to see if I would succumb to the same thing the others have, because if I saw it coming, I'd need to resign right away. So if that's where we are, now, then we've got to go deeper on the January 6th spirited protest as it is. But I want to start with a backup to that story because I want to go back to October of 2020. And Governor Gretchen Whitmer and the kidnap plot from October of 2020. So you've got the guys that were arrested for wanting to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. All guys. But the defense is gaining steam for why this was a setup and maybe an entrapment. So the defense attorneys, and I'm quoting Art Moore here from the other day from WorldNet Daily, in the Whitmer case, he said they are piecing together evidence that depicts an elaborate tale of FBI entrapment. And that's writing of Julie Kelly, actually. Julie Kelly quoted by Art Moore, who I'm quoting. Art goes on to say, she points out at least a dozen FBI informants are now have been determined to have been involved in the plot to kidnap the Michigan governor, which amounts to almost one FBI asset, as they call them, informant, per defendant. Kelly states, quote, FBI agents handling the informants directed every move. They funded training and reconnaissance trips and even organized a national militia conference in Ohio in June of 2020 to lure potential accomplices. Now, I've got to stop there for a second. I mean, this is what the defense is exploring. And we're going to have on that we're going to have part two, probably, like I said, within a day of this program. It's one of the beauties of podcasts. I can come right back with something else. And we are going to have an interview with an informant. Unless something comes up, we've got it scheduled to have an interview with not an informant of the FBI in October of 2020 in Michigan, but a party that worked undercover as an informant. And is going to explain to us what informants can and can't do. And when do they cross the line? And then we'll see whether the FBI crossed the line here. Now, of course, Kelly goes on to state that, you know, January 6th was called the armed insurrection, even though there were no firearms in the Capitol building other than by Capitol Police. But this is what I find interesting. The FBI said back in August that it had not found any evidence that the January 6th was a result of an organized plot to overturn the election. Why not? Why didn't they find anything? If the FBI can't find anything, then why is the January 6th committee trying to find out stuff? That's not even their job. That is the FBI's job. So they're going to do a better job than the FBI, and why has the FBI already closed their case? I'm going to come back to answer that question that I've asked in just a minute. So Kelly goes on to state that if the Whitmer prosecution fails against these guys, it's going to be a huge blow to the, quote, collapsing narrative about January 6th. She says the two events are inextricably tied with numerous intersections, not the least of which is that the head of the FBI's Detroit field office, who oversaw, in this case, the informant operation to catch the alleged would-be kidnappers of Whitmer, Stephen D'Antuono, after the, quote, success of that operation, was immediately promoted to run the FBI field office in Washington, D.C. This 1 week after the arrests and the Whitmer plot were announced so that to help Biden win the election, but before the January 6th spirited debate, which we now know there to have been informants there as well. It's the same FBI guy who oversaw the FBI informant program in Michigan, quickly promoted to D.C. to run the new shtick for January 6th. That's my take. So why have there not been any of the real instigators, or at least some of the instigators, arrested? So we've got people that have been dropped from the FBI's most wanted list. You know what? There's another good news source to check out, Revolver News. They reported that the FBI has been protecting various people. I can't say that this is true, but this is what the Revolver News has said. They've been protecting various people that showed up on film as encouraging Trump supporters on the eve of January 6th to go into the Capitol building the next day as the people gathered around him and chanted, Fed, Fed, Fed. So, you have informants in the group on January 6th from people working with or for the FBI. Now, let me roll one other thing into this thing, and we will get on to the conclusion, which I think is going to just blow you away if you haven't come to that conclusion already. Julie Kelly points out in Revolver News that the Justice Department notified the court in the Whitmer case on December 17th that all three of the top FBI agents in charge of the investigation are refusing to testify at the trial. What? The FBI guys are taking the Fifth Amendment? They look, we know why the Fifth Amendment is there. Nobody has an obligation to testify against themselves, but we also know that the Fifth Amendment always covers up people who know something that would discredit them or convict them if they had committed a crime. We know people who take the Fifth are guilty. Just like OJ, we know he's guilty, right? So we got the FBI agents in Michigan, three of them refusing to testify in the Whitmer case. Kelly goes on to write here that defense attorneys have now produced a detailed chart for a new defense filing with messages and recordings proving extensive planning and coordination between FBI agents and their confidential sources. Wow. Okay. And I'll throw this in here. The attorneys say that the communications are also going to show that the would-be kidnappers actually attempted to resist initially the FBI's kidnap plan on several occasions. So now we're going to go back and we are going to answer the question that's burning in all of your minds. And that is, why would the FBI back in August say that it has found no evidence that January 6th was the result of any organized plot to overturn the election? Why? It's because if they did an investigation, they would expose themselves. The circle would come right around and point at their own fanny. They had to close it off lest the investigation actually expose their complicit behavior in trying to frame these guys in Michigan as a boost and a boon 2 weeks before the election to help take the state of Michigan, a critical election for Joe Biden. This is the crap. This is the ooze. This is the stink. This is the garbage that comprises the deep state. And then we go to January 6th. The same FBI guy overseeing this informant operation. Wow. This is not healthy. This is not good. This is a government that is so interested in covering up how it got into office that they are now using the same tools and techniques to remain in office. And I want to show you, well, we're coming up to a break here, but I want to cover the next step as to how the FBI, at least some part of it, is egregiously violative of the Constitution. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
We are back, Robin Walters Show. You know, I appreciate it. I received some feedback about why are we using PayPal. I hate the company. I really do. I've hated them for a long time. They're anti-Christian. They hate Christians, hate conservatives. The proceeds, their founders, well, they don't use it money for anything that I would spend it on. And we are searching out a bona fide alternative. I've had people give me some suggestions. We've tried a couple of things. It has not worked. We need the best absolute. What it has to do, it has to work and work as easily as PayPal. Does PayPal work great? Yes, it does. I can't deny that. We're just looking for something that works just as well. And we can't use something that doesn't function easily and normally and well for people. It undoes the very service that we're trying to provide. Okay, so you use these tools and techniques. You use the government. So the government deep state is out to put somebody in office. And now the deep state is being used to keep somebody in office. So let's go to the Ashley Biden diary. This is, you know, now I know some of this has been covered, but I'm gonna run through a few things. And the whole diary situation is just kind of a horrific thing because so Ashley Biden, she's messed up like the whole Biden family is messed up, has been messed up. Hunter, Ashley, they're all screwed up. Joe's screwed up. And so she's down in Florida in some detox thing, living in this place. She's got a diary. The diary that's emerged, she's admitted it's hers. It's her handwriting. It's all hers. It's no question about it. But she leaves Florida, goes back up north, and then some friends of some friends move in. They find the diary. It ends up with Project Veritas. It turns it over to authorities and never went public with what was in it. But some others did. And so let me just kind of go to this comment here from Bob Unruh, who made this comment, and I want to quote Merrick Garland here. Anyway, the statement was that Attorney Merrick Garland was criticized for launching a federal task force on threats against school boards based on a handful of local cases, but he's been largely silent on any federal effort to deal with the actual crime wave. That is, despite the fact that attacks are organized and social media and experts think it's likely the stolen items are being sold on the internet. This is all interstate conduct and would allow for federal enforcement. So the question arises as to why tens of thousands of dollars of purses and everything else stolen in cities like Chicago are treated as purely local matters, skipped and overlooked by the FBI, while a single missing diary in Florida is now a matter of an ongoing federal effort. Well, we're going to go to why. There are a couple of things in this diary, two things in particular, that would have haunted Biden before, and it should haunt him now going forward, except the mainstream media will never print it out. Two things. Number one, Ashley Biden was a Donald Trump supporter. How would you like that to get out? Your daughter supports your opponent, who you've savaged. Now, she speaks fondly of her father at times in the diary. But how about this one? She makes reference to, quote, probably inappropriate showers with her dad, end quote. Probably inappropriate showers with her dad. Joe, a.k.a. the perv, Biden. Do you think you could have gotten elected when your daughter concludes that you are probably a pervert for inappropriately showering with her? Hunter Biden's laptop, Ashley Biden's diary, perv Joe Biden showering with his daughter. No wonder she had a... And so what does he do? Brings in the FBI. The FBI comes in to snatch a simple diary that they think might have been stolen, but they don't do jack squat crap diddly about all the stolen merchandise and all of the riots sold on the internet. Nothing. That's your FBI today. More cover. Let's cover and keep, we'll do everything we can to cover up the deeds, the misdeeds of the miscreants. Those are evildoers in government. Now, I'm going to go to an unrelated story just to show the complicity here on an even broader scale of the government. And that is, I'm going to go to the COVID cases, which normally I keep all my COVID stories together, but this one deals more with cover-up and complicity, egregious complicity with others besides the FBI. These are non-governmental organizations, NGOs as they are called, to perpetrate cover-up, concealment, misinformation, and disinformation. And it deals with the fact that there is a mechanism by which people who are injured or the estates of somebody who has been killed by the precious stupid vaccine, precious to them, dangerous to those who've taken it. Oh, we got so much more to cover on that, but we can't do it on this program. That there is a countermeasure to be compensated for the damage done. So, as enacted back in 2010, under Barack Hussein Obama, was the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act of 2005. And this act not only provides benefits to people who've suffered serious injuries or death as a result of being given what they call a countermeasure. In other words, the countermeasure here is the alleged vaccine. That's to counter the alleged virus, the pandemic, right? Which is really a pandemic of fear, but nonetheless, that's a countermeasure. The vaccines, loosely so-called, are the countermeasure. So this is to give people who've suffered serious injuries or death as a result of being given a countermeasure. But this act actually also provides that it will protect individuals and companies that are involved in producing or administering the countermeasures from lawsuits. Now, you know this. You've heard this from others. You've heard this from me before. What you have not heard, likely from anyone, is I go deeper into this statute and this act. This is what you find out. The individuals that are protected and the companies that are involved in producing or administering the countermeasures from lawsuits, they are only protected unless, huge unless, it can be shown that those individuals or the companies participated in willful misconduct. Willful misconduct. So if J&J, Pfizer, or Moderna, or any of these other crapola companies, in cahoots with the federal government and Anthony Fauci and the Faucinistas, are covering up, which we know they are, they say, well, trust the data. Well, they won't show the data because the data will show that the rats died. Ivermectin, the horses live. Moderna, the rats died. If, in fact, they have covered up, which we know that they have, that constitutes willful misconduct. And that means the individuals, whether in the government or the companies that are administering the countermeasures, are open to lawsuits. In other words, if the government actually kept its and did its job of investigating and being transparent, they can't, because it would expose and reveal the incestuous relationship between the government and Big Pharma. It's nasty. Bible calls it incest. Incest always called for the death penalty, didn't it? Well, this is an incest between companies and the government. And more on why I can't even finish it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Robin Walter, and this is a first for me. You know, in 16 years on the air, I have never promoted a product because I hear others do it. And truth be known, they say they use the product, and, well, they did once. But I want to introduce you to Dissident Soaps, a fine company promoted by Gab News because it's a moral, patriotic American company that makes fine products. Absolute best deodorant I have ever used. Great shampoo, and they even have me now using body wash, which is not, always a guy thing. But check them out online at DissidentSoaps.com. That's Dissident, D-I-S-S-I-D-E-N-T, if you graduated from a government school like me, .com. But be sure and tell them that you heard it on the Robin Walter Show.
Down home, where they know you by name and treat you like family. Down home, a man's good word and a handshake are all you need. Folks know, if they're falling on hard times, they can fall back home. Those of us raised
We are back. This is a Robin Walter Show. Before the break, we were talking about the illicit, incestuous relationship between the Joe, a.k.a. the perv Biden, and Big Pharma and Fauci, Tony Fauci, and his Faucinistas, and why they have to cover up all of the problems with the alleged vaccines, because there's willful misconduct. And if willful misconduct is involved, anybody and everybody, including the 150,000 people who've died of the vaccine just in the United States, get to sue Big Pharma. At least those. And once that story breaks, if this breaks, if you own some of their stock, you may want to peddle that garbage, because it's going down, baby. Now, tying this all together, I want to put together some changes that we need to make for 2022, and I'm going to pull this all together. It's going to start with word changes for 2022, because the left is always changing definitions. Back in the days of Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, they changed the definition of the word harassment. They've changed the definition of the word extremism, meaning anything that's to the right of socialism. They've changed the meaning of the word patriotic, and that's anybody who doesn't support socialism. And now we've seen they've changed the meaning of the word insurrection to mean any spirited conservative protest. Well, we're not going to necessarily change the original meanings, but we are going to use new terms of our own. Going forward, it's no longer pro-abortionists. I'm going to use anti-life because they're against life. And it's no longer the Biden administration or this administration. It's the Biden regime. Yes. It's no longer President Joe, a.k.a. the perv Biden. He'll be that some of the time because he's always that. It's going to be Joe der Fuhrer Biden, the neo-Nazi, the one who travels and traffics and lies as much as his media lapdogs and big tech and big pharma. And you look at Twitter and all those. I mean, gosh, they've banned Marjorie Greene, Donald Trump, Robert Malone, Dr. Peter McCullough. Just go right on down the line. Anybody that speaks the truth, they hate. They're no longer progressives, but I've never used the word progressive. They've never been regressive. How can you be progressive and resort to the execution of children in the womb, which we haven't done for thousands of years, offering up children on the altar of Molech? That's not progressive, it's regressive. How can you say that queer sex and everything like that and trannyism is progressive, which they push when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for sodomy, queer sex, and trannyism, probably? How's that progressive? That's regressive. How is gun control progressive when gun control was exercised by Hitler, Idi Amin, Joe Stalin, Kim Jong-un, Pol Pot, Fidel Castro? They love gun control. How's that progressive to go back to communist regimes? It's regressive. The word is regressive. Don't use progressive. It does not apply. Well, what do we have with this regime? We have a weaponized FBI, a weaponized IRS, a weaponized DOJ, Department of Justice. And it's just like Adolf Hitler had in the Third Reich. That's why Joe Biden is turning into Der Führer, the lies. Now, the Third Reich in there had a group called the SS, which I'm going to go into a little bit further here in a minute. But it had only one purpose. But I'm going to show you who the SS is today in American government, American politics. It had only one purpose, and that was to frighten, intimidate, suppress, and ultimately to crush all political dissent. That's right. I mean, when I grew up, SS stood for Sunday school. It did. And then I passed through the time where, I knew it was Hitler's, some special group with Hitler, and I just called it the SS. I didn't know what it stood for precisely. And later on, for all you older adults, it stands for Social Security. But I want to return to the Hitler part, because now we're to what does the SS, what did it stand for? Well, Adolf Hitler the German government properly passed legislation that funded what was called the Stahlschutz, which was the equivalent to our Secret Service, coincidentally, also SS. But that was legitimate. Every leader should have somebody that protects them from physical harm, from death or attacks in whatever shape or form. I understand that. But it grew. It grew under Adolf Hitler, and it was no longer confined to the Stahlschutz. Now, why did I research this? The night before I was awakened at 3 a.m. to study this, I prayed to God. I said, God, would you show me, as you have before, something into the future? I am not a prophet, but there are times I know that God has spoken through me prophetically. Some things are so easy to see, it bothers me that others don't see it. But God has shown me some things that I pass on. I prayed that prayer the night before he took me to the new SS, which was Hitler's ultimate SS, and what it means. As a result of a prayer, God, show me something that's critical. Help me understand what is happening and what's going to happen. The SS under Hitler did not stay the Stahlschutz. It became the Schutzstaffel, which means protection squad. Protection squad. And its powers expanded, and it came to mean that it had to do with anything that involved security. It required no legislative support. It all dealt with authority outside congressional action. It dealt with security, but they got to deal and describe what security constituted. So it requires no congressional action. It didn't require any extra funding. They got to define what security was, and because they could define what security was, and it was executive action, it was outside the reach of legal restraints. So, who makes up the Der Führer, the SS today? More than the Stahlschutz, which was their secret service, but became the Schutzstaffel, the protection squad. See, Hitler's initial secret service became a protection squad. But this is what God showed me in the research. I can't believe this. The Saul Schutz, the legitimate Secret Service, was paid legitimately by government resources. The Schutzstaffel, which became the full-body, the full-throated SS during the last 6 years of Hitler's reign, was primarily volunteer. You got that? Primarily volunteer. And it was formally distinct and separate from the military. So who is today's SS? Who is the voluntary Schutzstaffel to protect this regime and keep it in power? It's your alphabet networks. It's Google. It's Facebook. It's Twitter. I mean, the FBI, the IRS, DOJ, they're paid. But the volunteers, the ones that are in this illicit, incestuous relationship with the government, they're a protection squad that is voluntary. Voluntary. And like Hitler, this Schutzstaffel, the modern-day 21st century Democrat SS, has one function in a voluntary capacity, designed ultimately, of course, to keep Der Führer and any like-minded replacement in office. They have as their job to do what the formal SS is starting to do, like the FBI and the DOJ, and that being to intimidate, frighten, suppress, and ultimately crush all political dissent. And in the process, and to do that, and as part and parcel of this incestuous relationship and scheme, it's up to the modern-day media, the lapdogs, the legacy media, our new Schutzstaffel, to make sure that Der Führer, just like they did with Hitler, doesn't look bad, doesn't look foolish, doesn't look brainless, stupid, immoral, or gutless. And of course, all of those things ultimately describe Joe Biden, Joe Der Führer, a.k.a. the perv Biden, as much as it described Adolf Hitler. Absolutely. There is little distinction in that respect. Little. So, what do we do now? The first thing you can do, and I would appreciate it, is tell people to listen to this program. I am not the only source. I'm not even the main source. But God has given me a forehead of flint, which was used to describe Ezekiel. God said, you got to give you a forehead of flint. Well, why? Because Ezekiel had to say some things that God even told him. You got to say these things, Zeke. Don't you? I'm telling you what you got to say, and you've got to say them. Don't you be disobedient like all the adulterers, the idolaters, and all the people committing sex crimes and idolatry and stuff. They're disobedient. But you're disobedient, Ezekiel, if you simply don't do what I say, even though you're not out doing these other bad things. You eat what I give you, but I'll give you a forehead of flint. And what does that mean? That means so that when the enemy throws the darts don't penetrate flint. And I sense that that's what he's given me, and that's why I've got to keep speaking the words of truth without compromise on this program. So first and foremost, make sure as much as you can that you get this program, and this is a program maybe more than any others that you need to get in the hands of others so you understand what is going on, what is happening. This is the only media we're going to have left shortly, and we don't know how long this kind of media will be available, because that's what the Schutzstaffel does. They're out to shut down, stifle. Might as well be Schutzstaffel instead of Schutzstaffel. Maybe that's what it means in German. I don't know. Protection squad. But they're out to intimidate, harass, suppress, and ultimately destroy and extinguish and crush all political dissent. That's what they're out to do. It's the attempt by the enemy towards a one-world government, which is all Barack Obama was about. Joe Biden is too, doesn't have the smarts to even know about it, but he's a useless idiot in the hands of the puppeteers. That's where we are. And honestly, George W. Bush wasn't a whole lot better in that regard, than Barack Obama. The next thing you need to do, you need to get to know your Bible. You read your Bible and do not ignore the Old Testament. I've got so much to share in the next program, some of which is going to come from Scripture. Pray, read the Word incessantly. Turn off the lousy news. Listen to the news that is real news. In other words, it's time to listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God is applied to current events, not the propaganda that comes from the legacy media, Big Pharma, in other words, the Schutzstaffel. No, you got to sit tall in the saddle and ride, because you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week. No, we'll see you in just a day or so. Don't go away.